What is going on? All my dudettes, all my friends, what is going on? How did it do? What it do be do in these streets? Welcome back to Kyle Talks, for I'm Kyle, and we talk. How are you guys doing? So nice seeing you. Thank you for tuning in. I know what you're thinking. Kyle, where you been, bro? Kyle, what's happening? Kyle, my mortgage fell through, bro. Last time I saw you, I was married. My bad. I'm sorry that happened. Anyway, okay. I don't know. Anyways, so nice to see you guys. Thank you guys so much for clicking on this episode today. Thanks for downloading it. It is absolutely an amazing episode. It's fun. You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll be inspired. You'll want to be a voice actor. I'm just going to say it. So it's a fantastic episode. I hope you guys enjoy it. Before we jump into the meat and potatoes of today's episode, if this is your first time visiting Kyle Talks, thank you once again. I hope you enjoy your stay here. If this is your first time, this is my main show. I deliver it every week, midweek, Wednesday or Thursday, called Kyle Talks, where we talk about society, business, culture, and everything, because that's what we live in, society, business, and culture. I like to bring on wonderful people, business owners, professional actors, voice actors, stock traders, my wife, all of the above. We like to talk to people, we like to learn from people, and we want to build a community. That's the heart and soul of Kyle Talks, building a community, learning from each other, and just being with people. That's how we were made. We were made to talk, to interact, to have fun, and be around people. So that's the core of what I'm trying to accomplish here at Kyle Talks. And also, if you have a financial bug in you, or you enjoy talking about finances, or especially if you don't enjoy talking about finances, I do have another sideshow called Ficonomy that comes out every weekend. We talk about the big new news articles that came out for the week. We talked about how it affects you and how you can actually profit or defend yourself from certain economic situations, downtrends, how to spend your money, how not to spend your money, and where the idea for that came from. I've graduated with a degree in business and finance, and I wasn't educated about finance growing up, and a lot of people too weren't. So it's something we all share and have in common. But we should talk about money more. We should be able to use our money smartly and use it for us and be smart with our money. So enough of my plugs. If that is something that interests you, Kyle Talks happens midweek every week, and Ficonomy happens over the weekend. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today's guest is one of my friends, a very good friend. He was my first college roommate that I care for, and he's a great person. He is a voice actor now. His name is Jack Rose. He's an amazing individual. When we started, as you'll hear, he was a psychology major, and he turned into a voice actor, and he's now in SoCal, LA, the Hollywood, doing all the voice actor things. And some of the things we talk about AI voice work. Is it taking over? Is it too much? How to get started in voice acting? What are some hurdles you'll face voice acting? And how just to get in character? How do you prepare for a role in voice acting? We talk about all these things. It's a great and fantastic conversation. But before we jump into it today, you know what's happening. We're doing our boss question before opening show. If you don't know what this is an opportunity for me to connect with you and for us to have a conversation. So how this works is you send a question about anything. What pants should I buy? What stocks should I buy? I'm not a financial advisor. What kind of food should I eat? What kind of degree? Should I transfer my currency from Netherlands to USD, which I have gotten on the show before? Any question about anything, society, business, culture, or literally about anything. It's just an opportunity for us to have a question and just talk to each other. So if that interests you, you would send a question to kyletalkspodcast@gmail.com and put BOSS, boss, in the subject line. That way I can sort through it, the emails, because I get, so many emails, and decide what we want to throw up. So today's before opening show question comes to us from Romans 146574 at gmail.com. Is that like your actual email, or is that just like your burner email account? You don't have to answer that. It's just curious. It says, hey, Kyle, haven't heard you do a BOSS question in a while. Smirk. Yeah, I know. I was sick for a while. So that's why I haven't said. But nonetheless, I appreciate the show. Thank you so much for how you just talk to us and creating a place where we feel like we can just talk to people. I think it's needed in today's society. So my question is, what made you want to make this podcast? I found you randomly on Spotify. Thanks. I like to listen to smaller creators. And I'm just curious what gave you the idea to make a podcast like this? Thank you so much, Romans, for that question. That's a fantastic question. And also, let me add, I have answered some questions on the podcast before where people find me because they look for smaller creators. That's interesting because I do the same thing with like Twitch and YouTube. I always try to find smaller people and follow them. So it's good to know that exists everywhere. So thank you so much for listening. And I hope I'm being edifying and valuable to you. Why did I start the podcast? Well, weird, strangely enough, as we talked about in the episode with Jack, this was a pandemic podcast. So I was really bored. I wanted to do something, but I knew I loved talking. I knew two things. I knew three things. One, I was bored and there was nothing to do, right? The other two things I knew is I love talking and I love people. So what's the best way to do this? I love talking to people. Let's get a podcast going. And boom, that's where it was born. That's really the point of it. I know also it's like getting to the deeper end of it. A lot of people deal with like loneliness. I know there's a statistic out there. I can't tell you where it's from, but I've heard it. So don't like take my word for it because I can't share like the facts for it because I don't know where it came from. But it says that like less like 30 to 50% of people my age, like 20 to 30 in that age range, in that decade, they have like less than 5 meaningful interactions with people. So like we're slowly becoming more secluded. And I found myself in that statistic sometimes. And I'm like, man, we should have more meaningful interactions with people, like just to talk to people and be with people. Because there's some people out there like, I prefer to be alone. And that's not true. Like we need people, right? And sometimes it's a coping mechanism, you know, this and that. But man, we're meant to be in community. So what better to unify us than to talk about society, business, culture, which we all participate in? What better than to bring people doing construction work, to doing voice acting, to owning their own business, to owning a nail salon, to owning vending machine companies, to being a athletic coach? Like what better place for us just to talk about our experiences, how we can learn from them and just be better? So that's literally where the idea for this podcast came from. And that's what I love doing. And here we are 2.5, well, so let's say 2 years, because I took like a 7-month sabbatical and not didn't do anything with the podcast. Now I'm like full ramping up. Just because this is a passion project and I love it. So yeah, if that answers your questions, that's how it started and that's where we're going and that's what we're building here. Anyways, enough of me. I know what you're here for. You're here to talk about Jack. If you'd like to support the show, there are links in the description. I'll have Jack's Instagram and socials linked. I have my Patreon down below if you'd like to support me. Anything that goes through the Patreon does, in fact, help build up the podcast and what we're doing here. I just want you guys to sit back and enjoy, and please enjoy listening to my conversation with my friend, voice actor Jack Rose. Okay, cool. I didn't hear it. And we'll start in 3, 2, 1. Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining in. We have my good friend, Mr. Jack Rose, on the pod today.
Hi. How are you?
How's it going, my friend? Good to hear from you. Actually, before we jump into today's show, so you never hit me up after college. What happened with that, man?
You know, okay. Well, here's the thing.
So we were roommates, yes. Right? So like we were roommates. And I know I told you guys we lived with each other. We shared secrets. So
deep, I'm kind of hurt emotional by it. Secrets. It was a lot to handle. It was a lot to handle. I needed some time to decompress, but now I'm back.
Yeah. So, I didn't even know you lived. Remember when I texted you? Like it was like, I want to say it was 7. Oh, maybe a year. I couldn't tell you.
It was like but 7 or 8 months ago. Yeah.
Yeah, I found out we both lived in SoCal still, and I for some reason thought you were like not in SoCal.
Yeah,
so I was very surprised and hurt. So there's
like literally 10 minutes away from each other.
Yeah, seriously. Remember when we all got together and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna jump into it. So we've all, you know, like when you look at your old photos of your brother and sister, and like, wow, they've grown so much. They look so much different. So I experienced that with you, Jack, but like in the matter of a year. I didn't see you for like 2 years, and you were a man. Not to say you weren't a man before, you know, like you've always been a man, but you glowed up.
Thank you.
You glowed up a little bit.
I appreciate it. No, it is absolutely true. It took a little bit of effort to try and, you know, I was definitely a little too scrawny and a little too hunchy and a little too awkward. So I think I tried to better myself a little bit and, you know, fix those problems. Yeah.
You did. For those who don't know, like, Jack is a classic. Like, he went from, like, being skinny to when we were roommates and lived with each other. And now he's, like, buff. And it's like, when I first saw him, I'm like, this guy looks like he's an actor in LA. Like, the whole, like, hair, like, stands up perfectly straight. Like, you would see that. Oh, for sure he's a voice actor. Or an actor. You would for sure think that.
Just the innate snobbishness that kind of resonates from me a little bit now.
You know what? That's crazy you say that, because I think I picked up on some of that when we got to...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Oh, Jack, what are you doing? Oh, you couldn't tell. I'm an actor in LA. Yeah.
So that's what mainly I want to... Thanks for coming on the show, by the way, Jack. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
You already know. You're seriously one of my best friends. He was just at my birthday or whatever, so we're close or whatever. But I want to ask you on the pod, because literally... I love talking with people, and you know that, because we lived with each other.
I do.
But also, you told me about this whole voice acting thing when we rekindled after, like, COVID. Because I'm pretty sure we didn't talk COVID at all. And then after, we started getting rekindled.
Yeah.
And that was, like, not your direction when we were going to school. So,
no, it wasn't at all.
I think we talked about... Yeah, so we didn't talk about this really before, but, like... So what happened going from, like, I don't even remember what your major was, to be honest with you, but what happened from, like, after our time at LPU to, like, you, like, being a voice actor? What does that look like? Like, what clicked in your mind? Oh, yeah, for sure I'm doing this.
Well, it was kind of, well, let me just say, like, it definitely wasn't my reason for leaving school. Originally, I think I remember telling you this, like, I had a certain amount of money set aside for college. And
I remember that
I was working at Lowe's. You quit. Uh-huh. You abandoned me first, by the way. So
that's okay. Sure.
So I was working at Lowe's, and I remember, you know, thinking, like, okay, I need a certain amount of money per month to be able to afford paying for the student loans, because one of my things is I don't believe in debt. Like,
yeah.
Totally cool. People want to take student loans. I just didn't think that that was right for me, and didn't want to saddle myself with that. So I was like, all right. I was doing a psychology degree, and I was like, if I can't get full-time after this job, then I have to leave. And so I couldn't get full-time, and that's why I left. And then I kind of bounced between a couple things.
Wait, so full-time where? You're talking about Lowe's?
Yeah, Lowe's. Couldn't get full-time at Lowe's.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, gotcha. Okay. Continue.
No,
sorry.
No worries. And so I had to kind of bounce around a little bit. I would tried looking at, like, 3D printing and, like, CAD programming. But
okay.
That just didn't stick. And after about, like, 2 or 3 months of leaving college, I remember listening to actually a D&D podcast, funny enough, that had a bunch of voice actors on it. And I was like, I think I could do that. And so I called an old family friend of mine who's a director and voice actress. Her name is Julie Madalena. She's amazing. And she does classes and, like, helps bring people into the community. And so she talked to me a little bit. It turns out I knew absolutely nothing, but she was still nice enough to, you know, like, say, like, oh, we'll give this stupid kid who knows literally nothing a shot and we'll try it out. And so I've been for the past, like, 3 years just building that skill. And so I kind of just fell into it. It really didn't, wasn't a plan. It was just, oh, this looks cool. Maybe I should try it. And ended up just kind of taking off.
Okay. It makes sense when you said, me and Jack, we also play D&D for the uninitiated. We did that. Why would you guys know that? We used to play D&D. And you remember, it just brought to my memory when you said D&D. Remember, you do, like, figure, like, colorings, right?
Yeah, the, like, model painting and stuff like that?
Yes, because I remember when I got my... We went to Frankenstein's one day, and I remember I got a Thanos, and I didn't like the gauntlet color, the stone specifically. Mm. And I'm like, let me hit up my man Jack. And it's sitting on my desk. I'm looking at it right now. And the stones were painted by you, because I'm like, hey, bro, could you, like... I forgot you did that.
Did I actually paint
that? And the stones look way better. Yeah, you did. The stones. Yeah, the stones on it. Not the whole gauntlet, just the stones, because it's like very dingy. Mm. But now they're like super bright. And that was like, what, 4 years ago now?
Yeah.
That was
a long time ago. Had to have been, yeah.
Yeah. And also, when you're talking about D&D, remember our short like workout saga when we worked out with each other for
a while? Of course. The only way I know how to do a proper squat.
I remember, every time we did the treadmill, I think you were listening to Critical Role. Was that what it was or something?
Yeah, that was actually the podcast. Yeah, yeah. That was the podcast that got me into it.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that just made me think of that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, really randomly, you remember that like that super one buff guy was like trying to teach us both how to lift at the gym?
Was that one time? Okay, I remember two times. You're talking about the one time that one guy from Life Pacific came in and was just like spending 90% of his time checking himself out in the mirror, and like then he'd pick up like a 10 and like do like two reps and then stop. I think you pointed him out to me like several
times. No, what are you talking about? I don't remember that.
You remember that? Okay. No.
No.
That was what I remember most about us going to the gym. And it's fueled my workout the most, because I'm like, I will not be that guy. That some buff guy in the back's like, dude, this guy's over there. He's not lifting what he can. I'm doubling the weight I know I can lift, because I'm like, I will not be that guy.
There you go. No, I don't remember an LPU guy coming and like doing. I mean, there are people. I know I'm getting like we're getting off topic ranty, but dude, I don't like the people who like every time I see them, they go to the gym, they like lift, they do like two reps. And then they look at themselves and look at their phone.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, what are you doing?
That's the guy. That's one of those guys. Anything. That's what you were pointing out. You just got so mad. I think we saw him like four or five times, because we only went for like a month.
Yeah. 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 No, I don't remember that. No, it was that one time we were doing like, I want to say deadlifts. And like we were picking it up, and this like, he looked like a buff old guy for sure, was on pets. So he was like way too buff to be all like, I remember like, and he was like trying to tell us how to do it, and it was like kind of awkward. He was like way too enthusiastic about it. Oh, I don't remember but that's the one I was talking about. I don't know if you remember that.
I probably mentally blocked it because of the awkwardness.
Yeah, it was like unsolicited, like very awkward, like you need to do this. And anyways,
well, that's what most people at the gym want. We want people to come up to us that we've never met and just tell us what we're doing wrong in the middle of a workout. I can tell you for sure. That's what I want.
You know what? I think that's like, you go to the gym for social time. Who wants to lift weights? You just want your ego to be stroked, and you want people to come up to you and give you tips.
Yeah.
That's while you're listening to music, you want them to tap you on the shoulder. And you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Those guys get it.
He understands.
Those guys get it. So, anyways, you listen to the podcast, you get connected with this individual who gets you going.
Mm-hmm.
How does it look? How do you start? So, my thought process is, when I think, like, voice acting, for some reason, I think of, like, Olaf. That's, like, the first thing, because I thought, he was the first time I was like, that voice actor is funny, and I forget who the voice actor for that was. Mm. But, like, how do you, this is a tactical question, I guess. How do you, like, start? Because did you have any equipment, or do you just like plug in your USB microphone and just start looking up impersonations? I don't know. That might sound stupid because I don't know.
Well, okay. So I started with the hubris of someone who has no idea what they're about to jump into. I've always been like into accents. I've always loved different different dialects and different like, you know, accents and stuff like that. I've always loved doing them.
Yeah.
So I, you know, jumped in and I'm like, I'm pretty sure I could do this. I've done accents before. I can pretend like I'm someone else. When I was a kid, I had a bunch of dress up clothes, you know, like I can do this. It's fine.
Okay.
I go to Julie, and she kind of teaches me how to do this. And really the first bit, like probably the first 2 years, was just me learning that I had no idea what I had just gotten myself into, because a lot of people jump into voiceover and acting in general and just think like, oh, I can do silly voices. I can, you know, I can do a little bit of playing pretend. Like, I think I can do this. But it's so much.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, there's so much more into it than just that. You would think like it's just, you know, acting.
That's a good point. But, like, I wouldn't think there's that's a good point, because I wouldn't think there's much to voice acting. I feel like you just like get a mic and like you just like, arr, and get paid. You know what I mean? Like, you're right. I've never thought, I guess there's more to it.
Exactly. Like, that's what I thought getting into it. But it's, funny enough, you need to learn how to act first because you can't voice act fair. Without acting. And so a lot of it was just learning how to act. And it's kind of different than like learning how to screen act or act on a stage because you have no props. You have no real cues. You don't have other people to kind of bounce your like conversations with. And like it's literally like me right now. I'm in a booth with a bunch of blankets over it for audio dampening. And that's it. I have a monitor in front of me and that's all the feedback that I can get. So it's really building a very deep base of like creativity so you can kind of set yourself in those scenes and learning how to learning how to kind of build that like world around you so you can still act with the same ability as someone like on a stage or on a set can do, but you just don't have any of that stimulation from that outside like effects and stuff like that.
Okay, so when you said that, I've seen some photos of your studio, and when I think of like acting, I remember when what's the movie Logan, the Wolverine one.
Yeah.
When that movie came out, there's a scene where he's running through the woods and like he's like and like killing people. And I remember like a year later or something, there's a video where it shows Hugh Jackman like in a studio. He has a headset on, like exactly how you're describing, like surrounded by things. And as he's watching the video, like he's running in place and like doing and swinging his arms and like making those grunts and stuff. So is that like essentially like what you're kind of doing? Because I didn't know how that's worked. I thought like they had my man out here running, making those noises there, but it was being recorded in a studio and they just synced it together. So I'm like, so when you're talking about acting, I'm like, you literally have to act. And that makes so much sense because just for me thinking about that clip, I'm like, oh, that's what Jack's doing. He's running around, huffing and puffing. Like, so like just doing the movements, does that help? Like talking with your hands or like jumping, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, that's actually a really great point. I think it's your first thing. That's a really apt description. Like it is very much like actors on a green screen because you don't have any of that like scene setting. You really have to just build it all in your imagination. And that's one thing that if you have a good director, they will actually really help you with, because while you're sitting here, you know, like trying to figure out the character, if you say a line and it's not quite right, a good director can tell you exactly what it's like. Okay, yeah, you're angry, but remember, you're not angry because like you're righteously angry. You're angry because you're self-indignantly angry. Like you kind of know you're wrong and you're trying to be angry enough that you fool them and yourself. It's like they'll help you with that. And so kind of build that. But a lot of it does fall on the actor to take those cues and kind of take deep and strong steps on their own to kind of make good decisions. That's one thing that they push a lot when you're learning how to act, especially for voice acting, is to say strong decision making. Because when people are casting for a character, they don't necessarily want to have to build it from the ground up unless they have a very specific idea in mind. They want someone who can come in there, interpret the script and say, okay, this guy, he's a robot. I don't want to do like a super like bebop robot voice. I'm going to do one that he just sounds like GLaDOS. And that's kind of like a male version of GLaDOS. And then I'm just going to run with it. And that's what they want to see. They want to see people that are making strong decisions and kind of like doing their following the script and following the cues of the script, but making strong decisions that they don't have to kind of build this character from the ground up. An actor's job is to also kind of build and breathe life into these characters.
Oh, so okay, so that I didn't think about that. So you, so especially voice actor, I guess, like you have a lot of, even though like let's say whatever character A already has like a personality that's been written out by the writers, that's already been developed, and there's a certain way they want it portrayed or certain things they have said. It's like even with that still, my question was going to be actually one of my questions was like, how much freedom does an actor have in developing a certain character, even with knowing the personality traits? And like, do they have to say it a certain way, or do actors, producers, they don't like to tell you what to do for every single, they want you to like breathe more life into it itself. From like your point of view. Sure. You get what I'm asking you?
Yeah, totally. It 100% depends on the studio and the director first. Sometimes, like I said, they have like a specific thing in mind, especially if they're like reviving a character. Like, I know that within like the past like 10 years, they did like a Thundercats reboot, which is like a really old show.
Yeah.
For something like that, they want someone who's going to bring a little bit of their own twist, but originally it has to be that character, right? Unless they have a goal, like this character needs to be updated for the modern audience. Like, then they'll change a couple things. But sometimes in those circumstances, or especially when there's like just a very strong directive from the like upper echelon, like the producers and the directors, then they'll kind of micromanage a little bit more. But oftentimes the I actually have scripts right here. I'm looking at them. Like, the descriptions that we get, they're called sides, kind of audition papers for the characters. They're only like two paragraphs at best. Sometimes it's not even that. We'll get like maybe three sentences on who this character is. And some of these characters here that I have are kind of, I'm under NDA, so I can't say anything, but they're...
That's okay. Yeah, I was going to say.
They're like decently big characters that are kind of consistent in the episodes. And so you would expect, like, especially me going in from the beginning, you'd expect these to have like these really deep, in-depth sides. But really, they're not that deep. They give you, they'll sometimes give you different actors to emulate, or like, I want this to have a Chris Pratt kind of vibe, where they'll say like, think Captain Kirk from Star Trek, or they'll think like, they'll give you things to kind of like pull cues from, but they really are just giving you little, like, just throwing out things to see if they'll stick and to see what the actor kind of builds. Because generally speaking, like, it is the actor that will bring this character to life and make the strong decisions like about the character's personality that writers just, they have an idea in their head, but I think a lot of the times it's just very like amorphous, and the actor is the one that kind of pulls these little things that they don't even really think about out of the air and kind of sets them there.
So when you, so when they give you these character sheets, you said like their sides are like what the personality was sides.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that deep. So like, are you just left to, like, I know you said they like give you maybe some pointers. Are you just left to, okay, I just have to take this advice and be creative with it kind of thing? Like, is that stressful, or is that like easy to do? Is that a skill you have to build?
It is definitely a skill you have to build. So what they'll do is they'll say like, they'll give you like a small description of the character, right? They'll give you some, core pillars, which they'll call them, like, that you have to kind of infer and pull out of that description. Like, they'll tell you, like, let's think. So, like, a character, he's a villain. So, they're like, they'll tell you what kind of villain he is. Like, think Joker, or, like, think Darth Vader. Kind of giving you, like, a personality sometimes.
Okay.
They'll give you a little bit of backstory on occasion. It's all very, it just depends on the studio, because some of them give you really good ones and some of them give you really skimpy ones. But,
okay, interesting.
Yeah, and so once they do that, then it is, I'm so sorry, I totally lost what your question was there.
So when they give you the sides, you said they don't give you that much deep, and then they say, like, here's maybe some people to affect, or here's some people to, like, mimic. And then you're left in to fill the blanks. Like, is that stressful, or is that like a skill you have to build? No, that kind
That's where I was going with that. I totally lost my train of thought. Yeah, so it is stressful.
It'd be like that.
It's true. Okay. It is stressful. Gotcha. And it's a skill you definitely have to build, because one of the things along with learning how to act and learning how to kind of make the strong decisions that you have to learn is how to look at a script as just, you know, it's not even like a book that tells you, like, gives you like third party like perspective. You're just looking at a script and you're looking at the description, and you have to pull the right information off the page, right? So they sometimes they don't give you all the information. They just give you some of it,
yeah,
because they can't fit everything, or they don't even know some of it. And that's where you pull your like character from. So especially like when you're actually reading through the lines and the actual like sides of the paper, they'll you have to look and see, like, it'll say like angry, like, is it give you like a little like dash and then angry, right? And you have to figure out what that means, because like, ah, I'm so upset, it could be a completely like different kind of anger. There's so many types, you know. There's like,
okay, passion, I see. So like, would you
go ahead? Sorry, yeah.
No. I was gonna say, so like, do you see that? Like, when it's like, I want cereal, and then like angry or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, is that up to you? Like, okay, I got to figure out based on what they told me, like how angry I'm actually am right now, kind of thing.
Exactly.
Or how to portray that through my tone of my voice and stuff. Oh,
exactly. Yeah.
That sounds like creative, and like, you have to be creative to do that. Like, for
you
sure.
You definitely do. It's also super stressful because, like, I feel like, because, you know, they give you these beforehand sometimes, and you look at it, you're like, all right, I have a plan in mind. And then you go there, and then, like, on the drive to the audition or, like, right before you jump on Zoom, you're like, oh, no. I totally just completely misunderstood this kind of angry or, like, this kind of happy. Like, because there's so many types, right? So, like, you could be angry, like zealously angry, like a paladin or a religious figure that's had his religion questioned or something like that. Or you could be, like, villain, like, wow. Manically angry. You could be just, like, indignantly angry. There's so many different types of, like, one emotion, and they generally just give you like angry. Here's the lines, and so you have to read the lines and infer. You have to find the who you're talking to, where you are, why you're talking to them, all these things, and you have to figure that out. It's your legwork to do.
Wow, I'm like honestly mind blown right now because I feel like the way I was seeing it before our conversation was like, yeah. They give you the script. They say, I imagine, because, like, you know, script readings and stuff. I've watched a couple of those on YouTube. Still have no idea what that means. But, like, and I've never looked at a script either, for all intents and purposes. But I watched it, and I think, like, they read their line, and there's, like, parentheses, and they'll, like, say it super mad. And then, like, they would say it super mad then. So that's kind of how I always imagined it, which I guess isn't exactly wrong. But, like, I didn't realize, like, I knew you had to be creative, right? Because you're a voice actor. It's with your tone of your voice. Your body movement obviously matters with it. But I didn't realize, like, you had this much, in general, voice actors had this much freedom. And I guess that can be stressful. I mean, you tell me, right? That can be stressful when you're going to do a gig or an interview for one of these roles. And it's like, what kind of angry are they expecting here? Or are they not expecting a certain kind, or are they? And do I need to mimic that to try to win them to my side, or do I just need to be myself and say these lines how I interpret this character, or should I interpret this character how I think they want me to? I know there was like a million questions right there, but those are just the things I'm thinking about as you said those.
Well, it's okay. It's definitely true. So like one of the things that like I think is a good way to describe it is you and the writers are discovering the character together often. So that's so they don't most of the time know what they're looking for. Like they say they do, and they do, but they also don't. I'm sorry, that doesn't make any sense. Okay. Like, so what I mean, like they have a plan, and sometimes they know exactly what they want. But a lot of the time, an actor will come in and portray a character completely opposite than how they intended the character to be. But then they'll go, "That's it. That's the one we wanted." And so a lot of the times, like they don't really have a full idea of the impersonation of this character until someone comes in and really like gives them a unique experience of like this character, unique like lens or vision of this character that they go like, oh my God, that's it. And so it is stressful because you go in and you're like, okay, I need to be completely like off script? Do I need to improvise a bunch? Do I need to give them a character that they weren't expecting? Or do I just need to look at this script, do exactly what it says, and just really hope that they knew what they were talking about? And like this is what they want. Because it depends on the studio. It depends on the director or the casting directors. Everyone's different. And every character is different. And so you kind of have to.
So it's not like you just do this one thing and you automatically get it. Like there's so many factors from you. And then obviously, like you said, like what the directors or writers or casting directors, whatever, like what they're looking for then.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much going into it that it's impossible to predict going in. So I just like to do my best, kind of decide the character that I see on the page and like really dive into it and do a little bit of both. And then just, if they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. I heard a really great description of voice acting in particular, but I think it jumps to all acting. Where the guy was like, my job is to do great auditions. I get this really cool bonus every now and then that I get to play cool characters on TV shows and video games. But really, my job is to do auditions. And I thought that was a really great description.
Like, okay, explain that to me. Like, it's like your job is just to do, how is that valuable? Because I'm interested. Right. That sounds like it sounds good, but I'm not putting it together, sure. If that makes sense. That's totally. Like, how is that like, yeah.
Okay, so a lot of times, like, because there's so much that goes into how a character is cast, you know, like which actor they pick to play this character, oftentimes mm-hmm. you can do a stellar, really great audition and just not get it.
Okay.
And it's just, and so a lot of times actors will get, you know, discouraged. They'll give up on the craft because it's like, man, I've done so many auditions and I haven't landed anything. And it's because there's so much that goes into it. And so this actor is essentially saying, like, if you're doing voiceover, if you're acting, your job isn't to do really cool characters and to be a part of these really awesome shows and movies and video games. Your job is to do the auditions. If you're doing the auditions, you're doing your job.
Okay.
And if you haven't landed anything, you need to start maybe changing things up because maybe you're, like, not doing something right. But
yeah,
if sense. You're just... like spending most of your time on auditions, that's okay because that's what you're supposed to do because there's so much that goes into it that you're not going to land everything. I've done over the past, 3 months, maybe 5 or 6 auditions for different games that just never ended up like going through. I was really happy with some of them. Okay. I was really not happy with other ones. And I was just like, yeah, okay. That's okay. These auditions were more for me to practice my skill than for me to get the game. And if I got the game, that would be super cool. But the job is doing the auditions.
I see what you're saying. Okay. So then this like leads perfectly into one of my next questions I have for you. So it's like, I don't know, obviously I'm not in this world, what like the current trends are of the voice acting world. Like, I don't even know what a trend would be or what's the new thing with voice acting. So like with everything has a trend, everything develops in a different way. So with you knowing the current voice acting trends and the way stuff is developing right now, how do you like, what do you use or what do you do to help you continue to improve your skills so you can keep up with the trends? Like, for example, like on, I know you watch Twitch, like on Twitch, everyone tries to get clicks. Like they put big news emoji, click now emoji. And everyone's starting to do that now because it's the trend, try and get more clicks, whatever. Right. So it's like, how do you use that? Like, is trend following a good way to try to land stuff? Is it maybe like a good way to polish up your skills? How does that look?
Sure. Let me think about that for a second. Okay. Well, yeah. So. Weird thing about Hollywood, at least in my estimation, is they tend to lag super far behind when it comes to a lot of these things.
Okay.
They have a way that they do things, and they are very, very hesitant to change them. So there's not like a ever-growing trend on how to get jobs, usually.
Oh, okay.
I think... one sec. I'm sorry. I would say, I guess, that like... when it comes to trend following, it's following the specific kind of characters that are in is maybe one way. So I, along with character acting, which is, you know, movie, show, video game, it's called character acting. I also do advertisements. Commercials and stuff like that. And so actually changes a lot because what they used to want, you know, was like the whole kind of snake oil salesman sound. Like that. Are you sure that you know exactly what you're doing? Well, here at this company, we know what you want. Like that kind of stuff. That's what they used to want.
That sounded good. I almost bought from you. I know what you're selling, but I almost bought. Okay, that sounded good.
But what they things are transitioning to now, which is really great for me, is the idea is that a strong acquaintance of yours is telling you about a cool product. And so... that's the sound that they want. You know, have you ever thought about this?
Oh.
Here at this company, we really think that you would enjoy that. Like that kind of conversational thing. So a lot of commercials are transitioning from that kind of... it happened a little bit ago. But the new trend is like cool millennial friend of a friend that's telling you about this cool product. That's the new sound that a lot of these companies are going for. And that goes great for me.
As you say that, I'm thinking about like some ads I've heard, and that, see, that makes sense. Like that sounds like almost every ad, like a buddy or something that's, or someone that's younger that you're like pretty cool mm-hmm. with is telling you about this thing. Like I would have never put that together until you just said that right now. Like that makes sense.
Oh yeah. No, it's shocking how, like, once you start doing commercial, cause that's the newest thing that I've done. You start to pick these things up when you're listening to Spotify or YouTube or just anywhere, right? And you're like, oh my God, it's literally everywhere. You're just picking out like, every one of these guys sounds like Kyle's friend he's introducing me to, telling me about, I don't know, this new thingamajigger ointment or cream or something. I'm like, okay, wow, that's wild. But no, it's true. That's okay, the new kind of, I guess, newer trend. And then along with that, I'm sure you've seen the AI voices that are happening. On TikTok, yes. Like the Trump and Biden and all that stuff.
Dude, I love those memes.
So
by the way. I'm an avid watcher of those. So, like, yeah, talk about that.
Oh,
go
sure.
Ahead. Talk about
that. Oh, no. So that's actually something that they're, at least my commercial director, she has been bringing to my attention. She's like, make sure that, especially for commercials, because I think for character acting, they just don't have the nuance and they're not going to have it for a little bit. But for commercial, it's just a specific kind of tone, she says, make sure you have the rights to your voice. Because if you lose the rights to your voice, then in the next couple of years, like 5-10 years, maybe even sooner, I mean, we've seen it now, they can just take it and run with it. And she's like, get on. What she talks about is she's like, she had said, like, she's a big proponent of new technology when it comes to voiceover. So she's like, you need to jump on the trend before it passes you and then get with it. Yeah. So one of the things that I'm going to be looking at, not soon, but relatively soon, is getting the license to use my voice for AI voice stuff. Because once that happens, once that thing starts moving, then the first people on that train are, generally speaking, going to be the ones that get to capitalize on it the most. And so I'm deciding for me to kind of embrace that trend a little bit and just say, okay, like if they want to have a bunch of AI voices, then maybe I can funnel my voice into that and be able to control where it's used. Obviously I don't want my voice on some things, but like, sure. I mean, maybe I can have a bit of a say of where it's used, which would be nice instead of it being, you know, stolen. And so,
you literally are perfectly like moving into the next topic. Cause my next topic was like all the AI stuff. Like, are AI going to take voice actors' jobs, you know, kind of thing. Cause it's, I mean, you've seen the videos, right?
Yeah,
and we're Zoomers. We're tech savvy. Dude, there was this clip going on Twitter where it was deep faked. I mean, I think we can tell because the younger audience, we have a better eye for these. But it was deep faked, and it was something political, like Biden was doing like a draft or something like that. And it was completely doctored, but they used the AI's voice generator and they like zoomed really far from the face. Because, you know, some of them, they can like talk. Like they can make their lips move and look like they're talking. But if you look close, it looks terrible, right? So it's like, but it... It got all this thing on Twitter. It was this huge thing on Twitter, whatever. And I was like, that sounded like him. It looked like him kind of thing. So I just made me think, I was thinking like, are we going to need like voice actors? Maybe not. Maybe we will always will, but just in that subject that we can already replicate that in its infancy form right now today is crazy.
It's true.
It's wild.
It's ridiculous. So one of the things that someone in the industry talked to me about, for all AI in quotation marks, all AI like industry stuff, it's a balance between cost effectiveness and the technology. So for instance, I'm working with someone who's current, I'm the casting director for a game right now, Harmon. You should check it out. It's got a couple things. It's in its infancy, but it's really cool.
There's your one free plug.
oh, this is for you. I don't care about them. You need to check out Harlem. Anyway.
I was giving you a hard time. Go ahead.
But no, I appreciate it. So what was I saying? Oh, yeah. This guy he was talking about, he was thinking about for the concept art using an AI generator, right? Like AI art generators, you've seen them, I'm sure. They're wild.
The
problem is that you have to put in so many prompts to get the AI where you want it, then it's not time or cost effective than to just pay an artist to draw something cool. Like,
I see what you're saying.
At least this maybe is my perspective. I don't think AI artists and obviously like AI, I would think that would expand to pretty much everything AI. It's not initially creative. It's masters of mimicry, right? So AI art just looks at all the art, says, okay, this is what they think a sword looks like, and then just chucks its own estimation onto the page. And it can look awesome, but you need, what, like 100 prompts to get exactly what you want? Where just a normal like artist, you could say, hey, I want a sword, and you pick which style you want, and they go, okay, yeah, sure, and they make a sword for you. And so that's where I'm looking at for voiceover. I don't think, at least now, voice actors are like in danger of losing their jobs, because especially for like character. Because let's say, like I was telling about, like the intricacy of looking at the script and of the different like types of angry. You can't just type angry into the Darth Vader voice box and get, maybe Darth Vader. That's maybe not a great example. But I don't know, like some, you know, like Cloud Final Fantasy, can't like type in angry and get exactly what you want. You have to give so many prompts that maybe for doing that for every character in the show, maybe it's not going to be time or cost effective. So like with most technology, it's going to get integrated somewhere. My guess, it's probably going to get integrated in the lower end of the commercial sector. You know, like a lot of those like mobile games and things like that, where they can...
Yeah, mafia bosses.
Yeah, exactly. Where like they already kind of do use like the TikTok voice. And so it's probably once it gets cheaper and gets integrated, it's going to start working there. And who knows where the tech's going to go from there, obviously. But I don't think that it's going to be this like ground shaking thing just because of the time. Like a lot of these studios are in a huge deficit and like huge like time limit, right? So spending 6 hours to get one line by just putting in prompts, listening to it, changing it, it's a lot harder than just getting a talented actor in the booth and telling them, this is what I want. And then having them not only give you what you want, but surprise you with something from themselves. I don't think that bots have the ability to kind of spark that genuine creativity that artists in professions are able to have.
I 1,000% agree. Agree totally with you on that. And then I was listening to this podcast. Now this was about a year ago. I remember I was still working at Target because I was listening to it while I was working at Target. But it was, man, I can't remember the individual or what podcast, but long story short, it was a voice actor talking about, I want to say it was the Siri voice actor. And she was talking about like how, and this was before AI is where it's at now. This is like a year and a half ago. So people knew about it, but it wasn't as popular in front of you as it is today. And she was talking about like, she had to, how you were saying, get rights to her voice. And like, she sells it to different companies and they type in a script or something. And then it's like, she sang it kind of thing, but she has to get paid because her voice and then royalties and all that good stuff. So how would, I know you start diving into that. Is that like something people in your position in deeper in the profession farther along, is that something that should be like top of mind? Cause that's like a new revenue stream, like essentially passive income. Like I'll record a couple of lines for you. I own my own voice, which also I think that's weird. I have to like buy or like claim the rights to your own voice. Cause you know, it's your voice.
New technology.
So that's
kind
of weird to me.
It'll screw you if you don't jump on top of it. It's like, it'll get you. But no, it's true. It's something that you, especially like if, especially commercial, because I don't think it jumps to character that well, but especially commercial actors, if they just want to have a passive income stream, it's not, I don't think the technology is there yet. I just don't think it's so widely disseminated. And I don't think that a lot of these like studios that would benefit from it have it or even really recognize it yet. But it's something to consider, because especially if you're like my director, like the biggest commercial actress just there is. Everybody knows her voice. So she can start licensing it out, because if like, it's like when people were able to have like, you know, Samuel L. Jackson as their ringtone, or like, you know, like there, you've seen that kind of stuff. Like he did the same thing that the Siri actress did. It's just licensing out his voice, recording a bunch of lines. It's the same thing. This is just a little bit more, I guess, like intuitive. So,
okay,
when you're someone who has like a voice that's recognizable, especially for studios, then definitely. I'm still newer, so I'm just considering it as I grow in my craft. And for people that are just starting, I wouldn't even really consider it for now.
It's something to have
like in your space. You know, it's something to have like in your field of vision, and to consider. And then if there's an opportunity, then take it and just keep keep it in your field of view. You know, I wouldn't just ignore it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't also like freak out about it either. But it's definitely something to consider.
Don't like devote like crazy energy to it or anything like that, but be aware and like keep it on your radar kind of thing.
Totally. You know? That's just me. I mean, I am severely limited in my knowledge of this. I'm just starting. So I'm sure that
That's fair. That's
someone
fair.
Out there is going, oh, don't listen to him at all. That's stupid. Get your license right now.
Sure.
But it's possible. That's just what I'm doing.
Okay. No. That's fair. And then like, okay. So, moving on from the AI topic a little bit, like you definitely like you're claiming you're newer for sure, but you've also done it for 3 or 4 years, which is, you could still be considered new. Sure. But you have at least something under your belt, right? At that point, you just don't do something for a couple of years and know nothing about it.
Yes.
Right? Unless it's college and whatever, you know, whatever.
True.
So with that in mind, you know, up to where you're at now, what's one or two of the biggest things like that you had to overcome in this industry, in this craft?
That's a really great question. You mean like personally?
Well, if you want it to be, it can be personally, it can be professionally, just like bumps or something you had to overwhelm or a challenge you had to face specifically about being a voice actor and getting into that field.
Sure. My big hurdles were personal. Anyone who asked me this, I'll be the first to say, I was really lucky and really blessed in how I got into this. Like most people, like you hear, you have to know someone to get into the industry. It's like half true.
Yeah.
It really helps.
Oh, okay.
And so,
you
can work hard and you can build it in there. I kind of skipped a step because I knew someone who is a casting director and just said, hey, what do you think about my voice? And she said, let's work on it. And we worked on it. And so it kind of, it's such a niche industry. And, you know, like nobody knows somebody that does it. It's very rare. And so it is, I had a lot of like just blessing that I was able to do that. But, the big hurdles for me were mostly personal. Like I'm sure you remember, a little shy. And that doesn't translate to some characters very well. I could do shy characters, but you know, that doesn't translate.
Yeah.
My biggest growth was getting out of my shell a lot. A lot of that was like learning how to act and how to do improv. It just kind of taught me how to like be more open. We talked about it. I was kind of like a little physically like not there. And that was a lot of like, I guess like what would be like, keeping my arms in, just not sure of where I was, like in my space, like that kind of stuff, like learning how to act.
I see what you're saying.
Learning how to act has kind of got me more physically present in the space that I'm in. And I had to learn to do that several times. I spent driving in the car to the studio to kind of like do my classes. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore, and I just had to keep going. And so I've had several times over the past 4 years, like I could think of three specific times where I was like, I'm going to quit. I have to quit. This just isn't working.
Wow.
This is horrible. And every time I was like, nope, just one more week of like learning this stuff, hard characters, like losing auditions, like just keep going. And that like kind of got me where I was. It was a lot of building of confidence. Like I just did not have any confidence.
Yeah.
And the hardest part was faking it, and then like And then, like, getting it, that was the hardest part, because you can't fake confidence forever. I think a lot of people say, like fake it till you make it. And that works for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, like, you have to actually learn to have it at some point. And so that was definitely, like, the biggest hurdle. Personally.
And that's cool. Thanks for sharing, too, by the way. And also, that makes sense, because flashback time. I remember it was, like, the first semester of us living together, and I used to have people, like, come over all the time just because, like, the natural of who I am. And I remember one night you were, like, you were playing League and I was playing my Xbox or something, and you told me, you're like, hey, Kyle, like, I know you like talking to people, but I'm not a big fan of just having people in the room. So, like, if you could, like, be chill with that, like, not do it all the time. And I remember, like, dude, this guy's weird, bro. Like, I don't know about this. Because we just met, right? Yeah. Like, we just met. It's whatever, right? Obviously, you're, like, one of my best friends now. But at the time, I'm like, okay, bro, this is going to be a problem, right? I remember thinking that. And it's – and I mentioned that story, one, because it's fun to think about old things. But, two, you were mentioning, like, how you used to be more shy. And that was literally the first, like – piece of that I got from you. And now seeing you, like, where you're out more, you're talking more. I remember you did, like, a video on your Instagram of, like, how you set up your studio and stuff. I'm like, Jack made this video, like, very happy talk. It's to give you the credit, my good friend. You've definitely have grown, like, so much.
I really
in that.
Appreciate it.
And just me just only knowing you for four or five years now and seeing that growth is crazy, because, like, yeah, you were definitely not always like that kind of thing.
Dude, I still have some of the videos and, like, pictures from that time, that, like, year where we were roommates. I cringe so hard at myself all the time. I'm like, I can't believe that was me. I can't believe I managed to date people at that time of my life. I'm like, no way. That's wild. I'm just looking at it. I'm like, there's no shot. But, I'm with you there, dude. I look back and it feels like a complete, not even, like, ironically, feels like a completely different person than who I am now. And so it's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's I have off topic again, but I do have a picture. Remember that picture we took? Me, you, Garrett, and
Pelican?
Yeah, it was me, you, and Pelican. Yeah. I was like, there's someone else. Yeah. I have that picture still. It's sitting on my desk. I love that picture of us. One of my greatest photos ever. We look really good. I don't know what I'm saying. But, so just, like, do you think – so let me ask you this then, because I'm kind of interested in this. Do you think that the – I'm trying to think a better way to say it. Excuse me.
No worries.
The growth that you're seeing in yourself, obviously, and, like, the way you're building yourself as far as, like, getting out there. I mean, it takes a lot to record your voice and put it out there for people to critique, right? Do you think that – obviously that helped you to become more confident just in your voice acting and in general, right? But what do you think was the biggest thing that helped you gain confidence, not only about, like, yourself in general, right? But how did you gain confidence about, like, the roles, being a voice actor and stuff like that? Like, what was the biggest thing that was, like, pushed you to get there, if there is one?
Well, first, you're absolutely correct. It was, like, wild at first. Like, you hit it on the spot, like, putting your voice out there at first. Like, when I was working with Julie, I wouldn't even, like, act some character she put in front of me. Like, she's like, I want you to do the script. I said no, and she's like, I'm not doing that. Like, I don't know, like, you know, it was like for a kid show or, like, you know, like I was thinking to myself, like, I'm going to act like all the cool hero characters, and that's going to be me. And then, like, they give you one. Obviously, that's not all the characters, and a lot of them need male voices.
Yeah.
And so I get one. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. That's embarrassing. And I had to, like, sit there and think to myself, like, there's no way that I want to do this as a career, and I'm turning down roles. Like, not really roles I'm getting paid for, but, like, it's that mindset.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. Yeah. If someone's going to offer me money to essentially play pretend and have a good time in a studio and, like, just have fun, then I can't turn down roles. That's stupid. And so
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Okay. Right. And so I'm like, so that had to, like, that moment I had to be like, I can't do that. I have to take these and I have to learn how to do it. So it's just like, it's kind of just like, you know, with some people throw their kids into the pool to teach them to swim. That's kind of what I did. I was like, well, I have to learn to do this. So I'm just going to do it. and I'm going to acknowledge that I'm going to sound horrible and I'm going to be super awkward and I'm going to not be okay with this, but I'm eventually going to get there. I just have to do it.
Okay,
if I don't
yeah.
do it, then I'm never going to be able to do it. And so that's kind of what yeah. I did. It was that moment of just like, I need to actually do these things that are making me uncomfortable, or else I'll never be able to do what I want. You know, a lot of times the things that we're afraid of get in our way so heavily with our goals and our dreams. And so
come on. Yep.
That was kind of me reconciling with that and just being like, I need to stare this snake in the face and go beat it, or else I'm yeah. never going to, you know, get the gold. I'm never gonna be where I want to be with this career. And I might as well go do something else, because if I'm not gonna take it seriously enough yeah. to be uncomfortable, then what's the point of being here?
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Like, yeah, not to like get all philosophical or
that's where I live, bro. Like, hit me with it.
Cheesy.
I'm a psychology major that went into voiceover. So philosophical is where I live.
This is perfect. No, what I'm saying is, dude, it's so true. And I can relate to that with you, because obviously me being, you know, ex football player, at least at a higher level, or college football at a higher level, and, you know, starting this podcast too, is it's hard as someone who's even more extroverted, and like I generally don't care what people think about me in a way where like it doesn't affect me as much, but it's like still going out there and like, I mean, I did my podcast because the pandemic, I was so bored, I didn't want to do, like, I needed something to do, right? Like, I'm literally a pandemic podcast, but it's like, even with that, it's scary to put your voice out there, and what you're talking about, like, what are people going to say? Obviously, you're not going to have a lot of people at first, but you'll still hear stuff mainly from friends and family, which you can argue is like, could either be the best or worst feedback you receive, depending on what side of the aisle they want to give you, especially at starting levels. And it's like, you have to get over yourself. And specifically, I had one of my good friends who I play WoW with, Joe. He was on the show, and he went from like 500 pounds to like 200 pounds.
I listened to that one.
Crazy.
Wild.
Yeah, crazy. His story's crazy, right? And so how I'm connecting with what you're saying, and this can literally go for anything, not just voice acting or starting a podcast, but literally working out, whatever you're doing in life, anything. You have to be able to be like comfortable with being uncomfortable. Yeah. And that sounds like such a foreign idea, but I'm like, if you can't get past that first hurdle, and this is going to sound like messed up, you're not going to be able
to
do
it. No, it's so
true. I mean, I don't mean that to be mean. It's literally just how it is. If you can't be okay with saying, oh, I kind of don't like the way I feel right now, or, oh, I'm kind of uncomfortable doing this. Well, of course there's checks and balances. Like, don't do something that's like, you know, crazy or that like is a bad kind of uncomfortable, but it's good to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a firm believer in that. And if you can't get past that, I hate to tell it to you, but you can't really do more than that. You know what I mean? So
it's so true. I mean, so we talked about it in the beginning, like, I look a little fitter now than I did before. And going to the gym and being uncomfortable.
By the way, are you single?
No.
Just, you know,
no,
just
I'm not. Everybody stand back. I'm not.
Oh!
Single. I know.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, I was trying to plug you. We can talk about that later. Anyways, go ahead. That didn't work out. That didn't work
you're
out
good.
The way I thought it was going to
work
out.
You know what? I appreciate it, dude. Thank you.
Okay. I was like, hey, you know, if you're looking for a great-looking guy, you know. Anyways, go ahead.
My life just is a little bit ahead of you. Just a little bit. That's it. I'll tell you this.
Gotcha,
I wasn't
gotcha.
Dating on your birthday. So
whoa,
it is recent.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have a friend combo about that after.
Yes,
pod,
yes.
But yeah. Anyways, we're talking about like you getting that confidence, being fitter before I rudely
No worries.
You.
No, of course. It was a compliment. I love the interruption. So going to the gym is a huge reason, I think why I like was able to build that confidence, because you have to learn to be uncomfortable like that.
Yeah.
You're totally right. And it not just like physically uncomfortable where, you know, like obviously your muscles hurt and you're like in pain. You're like, I'm out of breath. I don't want to do this anymore. But like emotionally uncomfortable because, you know, you're struggling with 25s on each side of the bar on the bench and you're like, this is embarrassing. This sucks. Like, I hate this.
Yeah.
I used to, I actually, big step for me. I started boxing at the gym in front of people, which is huge because that's so embarrassing, at least for me. I'm a tall, lanky white guy, like flopping my arms in a bag. Like,
yeah,
I've had so many people come to me like, do you know what you're doing, dude? Do you need some help? Like, actually, yes, please. I'm sure you can tell. Yeah. And it's in Pomona. So all these guys are like tatted up like, hey, bro, you want some help?
There
like,
you go.
Yes, please. I'm not the punching bag then.
They know a thing or two. They know a thing or two.
But anyway, yeah, no, it's like you're – it's that like emotional uncomfort of like, I don't want to be here. All these guys are bigger than me. They're all repping like plates, two plates, three plates. And I've got a 25 on each side and I'm dying. On rep two, like, what the heck do I do?
Yeah.
And you just gotta, like, it's the same thing as, like, I know I'm not where I need to be, but that's okay. I'm better than I was yesterday.
Yep.
And if I keep going tomorrow, I'll be better than I am today.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of where, especially this past 2 years, has been for me in a lot of things, where it's like, I just keep remembering to focus on where my growth is and not the people around me. And I've grown way faster in a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. To put a cap to this, to move on before we move on to closing out here, I heard, I was watching, on YouTube. I've watched this multiple times. I don't know if you have you seen Pumping Iron? It's like the Arnold Schwarzenegger, like 1970s film about like working out or whatever.
No, I've never seen that one.
Yeah. So I've weirdly have watched that at least like once a month. Like for the past 6-7 months, weirdly, but there's it's just a good film. It motivates me, even though, you know, there are steroid use in there, you know, whatever, it motivates me. But there's a thing that I think is going to stick with me. I know will stick for the rest of my life. At the end of the, in the middle of the movie, it's like a documentary. He was being asked, like, how do you work out at the gym for 4 and 5 hours? Which I think is ridiculous. I don't, unless you're like a bodybuilder or whatever, that's like almost too long, way too long. But he was saying, like, how do you do that next rep? And Arnold said, like, he can keep doing the reps one after another, no matter how tired he is, because he knows that one rep will get him one rep closer to where he wants
totally.
To be. And I'm like, man, like, I've heard that 1,000 times, especially playing football. One rep, you know, you keep on doing one reps. Like, I've heard that. But the way he was saying it, I don't know, just contextualized so well with me. And think about, it doesn't have to be a workout rep. It could be, for me, it's recording a podcast episode. I know after every episode I put out every week, I'm getting one step closer to being the next Joe Rogan. I'm getting one step closer to landing a good ad deal. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that's going to come after every podcast episode. With you, I imagine, how you talked about audition. I got that one more audition in me. I'm stronger. I'm one step closer on a beat. I got two more auditions. It's just one audition out of, you're working out. You get what I'm saying here? Like, how
absolutely.
I'm getting
no, it's 100%.
So
true.
That's how, yeah. So that's just how I'm looking at it. Like, and how I'm visualizing it for you. I'm like, yeah, every time my boy Jack gets in the studio, that's one rep for him. And he's getting one step closer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's, I think that's like a perfect way Arnold said it. Every rep, I know I'm at least one rep closer to where I want to be. And I think that's, pretty cool. So ending it, I want to ask you one last question just to top it off. I've honestly loved talking to you. I would love to have you on the show again in the future.
Please just let me know.
My question for you, like I said, you've been doing it for about 3-4 years. You said you call yourself new. Yeah. You're so much.
I wouldn't even call myself an actor until this time last year. But yeah, I've been doing it. I've been working on it for about 4 years.
Perfect. With that in mind, I want to hear some good stories. What is your favorite and most memorable moment in voice acting so far? Or what's one that stands out to you the most in a positive context?
Okay, so this is going to sound just so nerdy. But like, first to say, every moment, like, where I'm growing is just a huge dopamine rush where, like, you know, I get a compliment from a director. So I have to sift through them and be like, the one time that Julie said it was okay. Like, you don't want to hear about that. Some of those really hit. Let's see.
I mean, it could be that. It could be that, honestly. It's fair. Subjective to you. Yeah.
I think that the biggest, best moment for me was when I did my commercial demo, which, for those who don't know, a demo is kind of like your audio resume. It's about a minute long of just rapid fire of different types of voices or commercials or different types of timbre and tone of your voice, just to kind of give a little sampling platter of what you do, so people know like if your voice is right for them. And so I recorded that like 6 months ago, and from it I got in contact with that one commercial a voice actress who's my director. She gave me a ton of compliments on it. She said, like, I don't usually do this for people, but I work with a studio, and I'm going to get you in touch with them because they're looking for professionals, and you've got this. So got that from her, which I'm in the process of working towards. I wasn't prepared yet, so I still have to get a website up, and I still have to do a couple things. But so I'm moving towards that.
Yeah, yeah.
I got in contact with a rep from Disney, and I got in contact with another separate studio. And so all three of those things was like,
wow,
all at once. And that was a really great moment for me. Just kind of, it was a little bit of both those things that I mentioned, where it's like, I put a really great product on the table and things actually happen from it. It happens a lot, like I mentioned in voiceover, where you put a great product down and then just nothing happens and you're like, damn it. But
that's relatable, but this
time was like the first time where not only did I put it feel happy with the product that I put down, like, this was really good, but good things came from it and better than I imagined. And so that's the moment, I'd say.
Nice. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. Well, Jack, thank you so much for being on the pod today.
Thank you for asking.
I really appreciate it. I enjoyed our conversation. Love that you're finally on here. I wanted to have you on a while ago, but better late than never. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. I know, like, you're just like super expensive or whatever.
Oh, my agent will bill you later, time, don't worry.
I got you. To end it out, is there, for those who may have questions, or if there's anything you want to share or plug, whether it be your Instagram, if there is anything at all, please, you have the floor to plug yourself away if you choose.
Sure. Well, some things that are going to be up soon. My website is going to be Jack Rose VO. And then I'm Jack Rose on Instagram. It's Jack Rose VO as well. So you can, I'm probably going to start posting more and being a little more active, because, you know, if you're going to be successful in 2023, you got to have a TikTok and an Instagram, which is kind of dumb, but you know, you got to do it.
That's so true. Yeah.
Anyone has questions or wants to talk or anything like that, like, yeah, Jack Rose VO, TikTok, Instagram, and I'll have a website up in the next month.
Sweet. Sweet. Thank you so much for your time,
Thank you,
man. I appreciate the talk, and we're going to have you back.
Yeah, it's been great.
I hope you guys enjoyed that. Thank you so much for tuning in. I had a fantastic time recording with Jack. We learned so much. We talked about so many things. If stuff like this in the future interests you, please go ahead and continue to follow the podcast, like and review the episode, and share it to your Instagram stories, to Twitter, and just tag at Kyle the Horton. I will love you forever. I will repost it, and I will appreciate your support so much. If you'd like to follow Jack and follow his journey, his links will be down below in the description. He mentioned him in the show. And if you would like to support the show, my Patreon link is in the show notes. And you supporting me supports the show, getting more people on the show, getting better equipment, and just making the podcast a better place for us to sit, listen, and hang out. You guys are loved. You are valued. Have an amazing rest of your day, and I will see you for FICONOMY. Peace.